Well, you can take your Bibles tonight, and you can go to Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 13. Jeremiah 2:13. And tonight I'm going to be sharing on how God is able and willing. That God is both able and willing. The beginning of Hosea 4:6 says that my people are destroyed for a lack of what?
Knowledge.
Knowledge, that's right. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And that isn't referring to earthly knowledge, right? We've got enough earthly knowledge on this earth that, you know, some of it doesn't even make sense anymore. Even the specialists have specialists, right? So it's not earthly knowledge. It's referring to a knowledge of God and His Word. So God's people are destroyed when they lack a knowledge of God and His Word. Right? When mankind doesn't know God and His Word, that's when they lack power and they lack abundance. Right? That's when they lack power and abundance. And one aspect that most people don't know about God is that He is both able and willing to do all kinds of amazing things for His kids. Right? God's ability is equal to His willingness to do it. In Jeremiah 2:13, it says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me," as in God, "the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water." Right? And so the image that God uses here is one of a water source, which we know in biblical times was a matter of life and death, right? You needed, you know, they didn't have faucets to turn on water. They had to go get water. And God is being likened to a fountain, right? And a fountain of living waters. And a fountain was a continual supply. It was just always there. And instead of using that fountain, they forsook it. They hewed themselves out cisterns. They tried to do it themselves. And a cistern is a big thing in the ground that they would dig a hole in and line it with limestone so it would collect water. And they dug these out and found that they were broken. So in the analogy, they're hewing out these cisterns, and not only are they trying to do it themselves rather than relying on God, the thing that they're trying to do is broken, right? It's not even going to work. And so what it says here is that the two evils that God's people commit are forgetting about Him and then trying to do it their own broken way, right? Their own broken way. God could have been their source, their supply, their never-ending fountain, but instead they put their trust in something else, something man-made, right? Man's ability is always much less than God's ability, right? God can always do more than we can because He's God, right? Because He's God. And man's desire to help is always much less than God's, right? Sometimes we don't want to do it, right? Sometimes we don't want to help. You know, we ask our children to help clean up after dinner, and I don't want to do that, right? Can you take out the garbage? No, that's too hard. Right? Yeah, remember when I did that? So, man's desire is always less than God's, right? It's like that. Imagine if you had a ball stuck in a tree, right? You're outside playing with your big ball and you throw it up and it gets stuck in a tree, okay? So now your ball's in a tree and you can't get it. If you asked me for help and I said, "I have a ladder, I can go get that, but I'm not going to." Then I have the ability to help you, but I'm not what? willing to do it. I'm not going to do it. I got this ladder, but nah, leave it up there. Or you might come by and say, hey, I need some help. And I might say, oh, I'd really love to help you with that, but I've got no way to get up there. Now, I'm very willing to do it, but I don't have what? The ability to go get it for you, right? So you need both in order to accomplish something. You need the ability to do it, and you need the willingness to do it. Because you might have the ability, but just say, nah, I don't think so. So with God, his willingness is always equal to his ability, which means he's both willing and able to do it. Go to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 11. So what people tend to forget or not realize is that God is both willing and able, right? There are people that think, well, God can't do that. God's not real. They don't think he has the ability. And there are other people who believe in God, go to church and really want to walk a spiritual life, and they don't think God wants to help them at all. They don't think they're good enough, or they think they have to do something special in order to earn it, right? And they don't think God is willing. But the truth is that he is both. Matthew 7:11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that what? Ask him, right? How much better is God than us, right? So much better. Even if we're doing really great, God is so much better, right? And we know how to take care of our kids. We give them food, we give them shelter, we give them clothing. We even give them nice things to enjoy, right? And that stuff pales in comparison to what God can do for us, right? How much better can God can do for us, right? If we know how to do these nice things, don't you think that God is even more willing? Yeah, he always is. Go to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. He's always willing, and he's always able. He's always willing. How much more will God do than what we could do? He's always willing to do it. Psalm 84:11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Right? God doesn't hold back. He's not going to withhold. He's always willing. Right? He wants to give. He wants to bless. He's always ready to do it. Right? God will not withhold. He won't hold back, right? He won't hold back. Sometimes we give about 80%, right? But God always gives 100%. Go to Romans 8:32. He's willing. He wants to. How much more will he do than us as earthly parents or earthly friends for each other? Romans 8:32. Romans 8:32. Right? He's not going to hold anything back. Romans 8:32 says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things, right? God gave his only begotten son for us. He delivered him up for all of us. If he's going to do that, what won't he freely give, right? He's willing to. Why would we think that there's something that God's going to hold back when he already gave us his son? Right? If he already willingly gave us his son, why would we think he doesn't want to help us get that new job? Or help heal us up from that thing that's bothering us? Or give us peace and comfort when, you know, we're dealing with a lot of anxiety or worry or fear? He already gave us his son, right? He's willing to do the rest. And how does God give? Freely. That's right, freely. In James 1:5, it also says he gives liberally, generously, right? He gives generously. So he's willing to do it. He's so willing to do it. And the good news is, he also has the latter. He's able to do it. Go to Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32. Not only is he excited to help you, he can. He's got the ability to do it. He's not just the guy who says, yeah, that stinks to have that ball up there. I'd really like to help you. He's got the ladder to do it. He's able to do it. Jeremiah 32, verse 27. It says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? It's a rhetorical question, meaning no. There's nothing too hard for God, right? His ability is equal to his willingness. He wants to help, and he's able to help. There's nothing that's too hard for God. Go to Luke chapter 1, verse 37. Luke 1:37. So right up front, God tells us, there's nothing that's too hard for me. There's nothing that's too hard for me. Talk about ability. It is too hard for me to pick up a car. I can't do it. Right? But with God, right, there's nothing too hard for him. He can do it. He created the heavens and the earth. There's nothing too hard for him. Luke 1:37. For with God, nothing shall be what?
Impossible.
Impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. Nothing that God has spoken, nothing that is in God's word, nothing that God has revealed to you will be impossible, right? Devoid of power. If it's in God's word or he's revealed it to you, that's it. He's able to do it. So all of the different things that we read in God's word that he's able to do, he's able to do it. It's not impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. Chapter 18, verse 27. Chapter 18, verse 27. says, and he said, the things which are impossible with men, are possible with God, right? Because his ability is so far greater than ours. The things that are impossible for us are possible with God, So we need to stop thinking like God doesn't have the ladder, right? He is able to do it. The things that might be impossible for us are possible with God. Romans 4:19. And so when we begin to understand the simplicity of it, that God is both willing to and able to do it, that's when we'll trust him. That's when we'll see things come to pass. Right? Because that's what it is a matter of trust. Right? Your buddy can come over with the ladder and say he's going to show up, but if you don't trust him, are you going to be waiting there for him? No, you're going to be trying to figure out some other way to get the ball out. Right? So we have to believe it. We have to trust that God's ability is equal to his willingness. Romans 4:19. It says, and this is referring to Abraham, and being not weak in the faith, he considered, and the word not there is not in most critical texts, he considered, he thought about his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet, again is better translated and the deadness of Sarah's womb. So Abraham wasn't an idiot. He understood how old he was. He understood how old his wife was. But he was not weak in what? In believing. He thought about how old he was, but verse 20 says he staggered not at the promise of God through what? Unbelief. Right? Believing, he overcame what his five senses said. His five senses said, I'm way too old to have children. But God promised him that he what? Would have kids. Right? That he would have kids. And so he staggered not at that promise through unbelief, but was strong, strengthened in believing, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded, fully believing, fully trusting that what he had promised, what God had promised, he was what? Able also to perform. Right? God made a promise to him, and he believed that promise. He believed that God was willing, that God wanted this for his life, that he would have children. And he believed that God was able also to perform it. Right? And that's where we have to get, to the point where we too are persuaded that we're believing the way that, you know, if this is what God says, then that's it. Everything else might look weird. It might look impossible, but the things that are impossible with men are what? Possible with God, right? Normally it would be impossible for somebody who was 90 plus years old to have children, but God said he would. And so for him, he thought about, well, I'm 90, but God said it, and therefore I believe it. And he received the promise, right? He received the promise. We're going to close in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. So God is both willing and able to do what he says. His willingness is equal to his ability, which means they're equal. They are both possible. He is incredibly willing and incredibly able. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him, unto God, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above. God is able. We should have sang, he's able tonight. He's able. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, right? God is that able. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above the things that we can ask for or think of, right? It's limitless with God. Our limit is sometimes in our own thinking and our own believing. But God says he's able to do far beyond what we can kind of imagine, right? Which is crazy to think about, because we can imagine some pretty incredible things. But God says he's able to do exceeding abundantly above that, right? He gave us examples in his word. We can imagine the parting of the Red Sea in our brains, right? We can imagine the healing of the blind or a leprous person, right? These are things that God has put in his word that we can imagine. And God says, I'm able to do exceeding abundantly above that, right? Which is incredible. Incredible to think about. But God's ability and willingness are far greater than ours. And He's both willing to do what he says and able to carry it out.